we are a priesthood, you know, built up as a spiritual house, one. Then we are made to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. Revelation chapter 1. I'll read verse 5. And then verse 6. And then verse 7. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto our God. Verse 6. He has made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Chapter 5. Revelation. Chapter 5 again, verse 9 and then verse 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10. Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So, we have seen that anyone who has been washed by the blood of the Lamb, who has been saved by Jesus, has been declared and made a king and a priest in Christ. Now we did a backup into Exodus chapter 19, where God made a promise or give his word as touching praise. Now, before we do that, you know, I mentioned to you that whenever you are studying a word in scripture, you look at the first mention. Where was it ever mentioned? The word priest was first mentioned in Genesis 14. We've done some exhaustive study in that area, looking at the man Melchizedek, who was first mentioned, who was called the priest of the Most High God. He was called the priest of the Most High God. I would say the word priest is a mediator, somebody who offers a mediation. So whatever he takes from the people or on behalf of the people and of God himself, he takes to God as a mediation, as someone who brings for a reconciliation. That was what Abraham and Melchizedek dealt with. And we looked at Melchizedek properly and we saw his relationship with Jesus. We saw that it was not Jesus, it was not the Holy Spirit, it was a type in certain characteristics about Jesus. We've seen that clearly. That he was a man. I know you got that very, very clearly. You saw that beautifully. Now, furthermore, we saw that God now spoke to the children of Israel, you know, in the Old Testament. That's what we call the law. Exodus 19 and then verse 6. And it says from them in verse 5, it says, Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Then verse 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So it says you shall be a kingdom of kings and priests. And I said to you, if you look at the Bible again, you discover that only Melchizedek before this had this title of being a king of Salem, then a priest of the Most High God. After then, no other person occupied the dual nature of ministry and dominion until Jesus. So, he says to the children of Israel, I said, if you obey my voice. So God gave a promise. Now we've seen that they did not obey his voice. And that voice was the gospel of Christ. They did not believe the word. We've seen that in this series also. To do you a lot of good to get it. Now, sometimes, and this is where we begin to make an examination this morning. Sometimes when God speaks like that, I will do this and I will do that. Of course, in the Hebrew and the Greek, it's called a commitment. What we call a promise. What God will do. And In Exodus 19:6, he makes a promise, you shall be unto me. See, if you will do this, you shall be unto me. In the Greek, it's called an epigenia, something, a self-commitment. That is, I will do this, I won't depend on anybody, but I will do this for you, a promise. And because of our lack of study of scripture, many times we think the word of God, for instance, is a promise. So we begin to read and think, God has promised me this. And in fact, we sing some songs, He has promised, He will never fail. I will call on Him, He will answer me. We say, when I remember His promises, I shout hallelujah. I would think that we are glorifying God by singing like that. And there's even a song that we try to change it in this church. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, come and sing or something. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. We sing the word promise like God has said He will do something and He has not done it. But He will do it. Trust Him. Trust Him. If He said He will do it, then He will do it. And there's another one I want to sing. I think there's another song I want to sing like that. That has promise in there. That God will promise. God has promised it. He will do it. But see, it's lack of study. I told somebody yesterday, I said, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. And Luke chapter 4 verse 4 also. It's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Oftentimes, we read that word, every word, like any word. No, he said every word. That means, when you believe, you've got to take all that God has said. If I tell you, you have to pass every course. I didn't say you have to pass any course, but every course. So for the Christian to live, as it were, a man to live better still, he has to take everything. So your study of the scriptures is not complete until you go through all the scriptures. You must read Genesis. You must read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You must read them. You must read Joshua, Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Ruth. You must read about Esther, Job, Psalms. You must read the law, the prophet, everything. You must read the four gospels. Acts of the Apostles, study every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not a word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. A word from God can change your life forever. No, brother. It's every word. You've got to take the whole scriptures together. So whenever we talk about promises, you have to know when it was a promise. You have to find out, has the promise been fulfilled? If I tell you I'm going to pay money into your account, $1 million, somebody's spirit jumps up for joy now as I said that. And I told you that. You got a hold of that fact. Then I sent you another mail. I have since paid it. It's in so and so account. And then you just say, well, I believe you, sir. I believe you, sir. If you believe me, then you go to the account. If you believe me, then you say, I have $1 million. You don't say, God said He will give me $1 million. I believe Him. Saying you believe me for what I have done is unbelief. That's the reason why some have unbelief. Is unbelief. Some have unbelief because they've seen it, they don't believe it. But some is just ignorance. They've refused to read and study and find out. Now, God said, I will make you. Now, we just read a portion of scripture now that says to us that you are a kingdom of priests. But there was a place that I will make you, talking to Israel. Not even to us, Gentiles. He said, I will make you. Now, careful study of the scriptures. We take us to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, you must have read everything. Then one day, you will discover 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Most of those days are cut short because of your pastor. He just cut short those days for you. We're able to be reading and reading and reading just to see this is here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But as God is true, okay, our word towards you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and amen, but in him, yes. Can we take verse 20 together, everybody? Come on, everybody, take it again. For all the promises of God, in him are yes, and in him, amen. Yeah, it is the promises of God. He said all. So it'll be all. All means everything, excluding nothing. He says all the promises of God are fulfilled by him. The word amen means fulfilled. That's why amen is written here, and the statement still goes on. It says amen. Jesus said, I am the amen. I am the fulfillment of God's promises. So he says, all the promises of God are in Christ fulfilled. So he says, the word of God will work for me. Depends on what you really mean. What exactly are you talking about? The word of God will work for me. Oftentimes we think, God has promised so it will happen for me. No. He says, all the promises of God are fulfilled in him. So be all the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ. Fulfilled means they are brought to pass. So, it's always brought to pass and you say, Lord, I believe in your promises. Now, that's either ignorance or unbelief. Because they are fulfilled. Now, look at Romans chapter 15. You know, we just read something from the Old Testament written to the Jews. Okay? Romans 15. Verse 7. Wherefore I receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Became a minister of the circumcision. Now the circumcision refers to who? The Jews. So he became a minister for the Jews. For the truth of God, now let's finish the good part together. I want to go to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Isn't that beautiful? To confirm the promises made to the fathers. The word to confirm means to establish, to fulfill the promises made to the fathers. So Jesus Christ is the minister, that is, to the Jews. He is the fulfillment of the promises made to the fathers. Now you can say, well, Pastor, this is about the Jews. Hold on. And I told you that the book of Galatians is to the Gentiles what the book of Hebrews is to the Jews. The book of Galatians lets the Gentile know the Old Testament promise made, fulfilled by Jesus for the non-Jew and the Jew also. The book of Hebrews addresses the Jews. We have a study on that. We have the book of Hebrews as a study. We have the book of Galatians as a study. You could pick both of them. Particularly in this latter reign. Praise the Lord. Let's see this. Now we'll talk about the Jews now. Look at the Gentiles. Verse 9. And that the Gentiles, so that means verse 8 was referring to who? The Jews. That the Gentiles might glorify God for what? He says, for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause will I confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. It's quoting from Psalm 18 verse 49. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 50, he said, look, a promise was equally made to the Gentiles, that among the Gentiles, so Jesus will also be identified with the Gentiles, to fulfill what God spoke about them. Look at verse 10. He again said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. That's the Corinthians 32 verse 43. Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. So he's saying, the Gentiles will be united with what? You. Verse 11. And again, praise the Lord and all ye Gentiles, and loud him all ye people. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 and Isaiah chapter 11 verse 10. That's verse 12, sorry. That's Psalm 117 verse 1. That's where you got the quote from verse 11. Psalm 117 verse 1. All ye people. These are the Gentiles. And all ye people. Look at verse 12. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse. He shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Praise God. So the Old Testament speaks about the salvation of the Gentiles in Christ. That's Isaiah 11 verse 1 and 10. So, Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises that God made. He's the fulfillment of the promises that God made. He said, all the promises of God are fulfilled in him. I am in him today. I said, I am in him today. So I am in him today. So all the promises of God are fulfilled in him. Note those scriptures I gave you. I gave you Psalm 18 verse 49. I gave you Psalm 117 verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 43. I gave you Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 and 10. Make sure you go back home to look at that. And ensure that you check it out yourself. Look at Acts 13. There's Paul now, talking to the Jews. Verse 32. He says, and we declare unto you glad tidings. Acts 13, 32. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again. As is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So he says he fulfilled them by Jesus. So if God says, I will make you a kingdom of priests and kings and priests, pardon me, that promise has been fulfilled by Jesus on our behalf. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. I read from verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He promised it before the world began. But it says, and in these due times manifested his word through preaching. So he made up, what he has promised has now been made available to us through preaching. Manifested his word through preaching. Galatians chapter 3. So there is no promise left to be fulfilled. All the promises have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, notice that, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Through who? Jesus Christ. That they receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit through faith. So everything that has been promised of God in the Old Testament has been fulfilled in Christ. The gospel is how you receive it. When you hear the gospel, you receive the fulfilled promise of God, which has been fulfilled already by Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. I hope you're following this. Talk to me, are you following this? Hebrews chapter 4 now. Sometimes people get it wrong. Verse 1. Let us therefore care lest the promise be left of us. Notice that. Let the promise be left us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Notice his language. Let any of you, and I think he was talking to Jews, the unconvinced Jews, let any of you should seem to come short of it. So he says, for unto us was the gospel preached. He says, unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Now unto what now? Unto the fathers. Unto the Jewish fathers. But the word preached, what the message preached, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Notice, God said to them, I will make you a kingdom of kings and priests. That was good news, wasn't it? Was that good news? But they didn't believe it. You know, they told Moses, I told Moses, we don't want to hear God's voice, you go hear it for us, and come back and tell us what God said. Now, look at verse 3. Like you say, well, I can stop at verse 2 and say, hey, verse 1, and say, brethren, let's be careful that we don't lose out of the promise of God. You know, and I say that's how we read the Bible. But look at verse 3. He had told you in chapter 3, verse 19, that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Verse 18, because they believed not. So he says in verse 3, let's take verse 3 together. One, two, go. But we which have believed do enter into his rest. Hallelujah. We have entered into his rest. We that have believed. So who was he talking about in verse 1? Those that have not believed. We have entered into his rest. So you don't say, I want to enter into his rest. Oh God, let me, don't let. No, no, no. So we have entered into the fulfillment of the promise of God. He says, you have ceased from your works. That means you are now enjoying what someone else has done. That's the word rest. You are now a partaker of the acts, the deeds, and the labor of someone else. So I'm a partaker of the work of Christ Jesus. So I'm a partaker of the work of Christ Jesus. That's what Christianity is. So look at 1 Peter now. So, wherever you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, sorry, pardon me, chapter 2, and you now read what Peter said about priesthood, you are not lost. Because priesthood was a promise given. Priesthood is a promise fulfilled today. 1 Peter chapter 2, we read verse 5, that says, we are living stones. We are built up a spiritual house of holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. You read that from Isaiah 28 verse 16. Elect, precious. 1 Peter 2 6. He that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. Can we take verse 9 together? Who are the ye now? Why do you read it like you're reading for somebody else? Can we read it for yourself? Come on, what's the goal? I'll take it again. So we are what? Now mark the word we are. We are. Now, look at the King James. The word "are" is in italics. So it's more direct. I mean, if you were to read it about the word I, doesn't do you any harm, but it's like saying, you, a chosen generation. Praise the Lord. It's not a promise. It was a promise, but because you have believed in Jesus, you are living in the fulfillment of God's promise. You, a chosen generation. You, a royal priesthood. Now what's a royal priesthood? A king, a what? A priest. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can you say amen to that? So he says, you are. That's what I am today. It's not a promise. So they say, I sing for joy for the promise I have. What promise? Ask you. Ask yourself, what is the promise left for you? Heaven is not even a promise. Heaven has been given to you as a place to sit in Christ. As a citizen where you belong. Hallelujah. What we call the rapture. You know, somebody was telling me yesterday, he said, what do I think about the, you know, I get different answers to different people. About May 21, I said, well, I said, I don't go with a rapture that is known all over the newspapers. That's known to the God of this world. That one kept quiet. And now asked me, I said, well, so some folks did go to heaven. And God didn't know they were coming. So he sent them back and said, go get a good church. He gave them sense community. He said, go sit there. They'll teach you God's word. Well, in reality, the rapture of the church, what we call the rapture of the church, is the glorification of the physical body. And that promise is fulfilled in Christ. Because the body has been paid for. So, everything has been fulfilled by what Jesus did. Now, there's a saying that we can say the word of God is working. We're talking about you doing the well of your mind. You are growing spiritually. But the truth is, technically, the word of God has worked. God gave his word and fulfilled his word. And Jesus sat down waiting till his enemies made his footstool. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thought something years back, why the word cannot fail. You can't fail someone that has succeeded. Something that has worked doesn't need to be worked out. It's fulfilled already. I am what he says I am. I am what he says I have. I'm not going to become righteous. I'm already righteous. So that's not a promise. I'm a son of God now. I'm an heir of God now. I'm not going to become what the world says I am. I am what the world says I am. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He will not be a new creation. Say, I'm what the world says I am. Say, I'm what the world says I am. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. Look at that. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and power. That's the word virtue. Whereby are given unto us. Notice that. Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Look at that. He's saying promises were given to you. Now you are a partaker of the divine nature. That means the promises are fulfilled to you. Since you are now a partaker of the divine nature. You now have all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Christian is not the one who is trying to become. He's only the man who is finding out what God has made of him. So, we are priests today. We are kings today. What do you say? Jesus is the King of Kings. He's not King of the Oniofife. or king of the Queen of England, or the king of Spain, is a king of we kings. Because the house that he built is a spiritual house. Hallelujah. We'll get to that now. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. He says, you are a living stone, or you also as living stones are built up, what? A spiritual house. See, we are a spiritual house. Now, notice, you know, we did the study last week and the week before about the Old Testament, you know, how they had a physical building called the temple. A physical building. And then the key place, really, in the temple is where? All the temples were built for one purpose. Okay, I'll give you an instance. If you're going to the office of the managing director of a company now, you have the gate, the security gate, you have reception, depends. You have the secretary, then you have the managers, you have all that. But you now get to the managing director. If peradventure you went through all the process, you get to the managing director, you didn't get to the managing director. The key place in the temple is the holiest of all. That's where the atonement is made. That's where the sacrifice, that's where the remission of sins, the shedding of blood is done. All the ceremonies lead us into the holiest of all. Now, I told you last week, I said, God told Moses to build the Old Testament tabernacle according to the pattern that he saw. And you see, we could think that, well, maybe there's a temple in heaven, and then, you know, people do a sort of series today about whether you are in the holiest of all, you are in the outer court or inner court, out of ignorance. I spoke to you last week, and I'm going to do that again later in the year, that everything in the temple that Moses saw was God teaching him what Christ will do. And all Moses could do, because he was a man of the senses, was to duplicate it by a building. Now every step into the holiest of all were accomplishments of Christ's death. And the holiest of all was heaven, where after his death he now entered into heaven to appear in God's presence for us. Let me see if you understand that clearly. I explained last week. If you have gotten the spiritual man series, you know that this is exactly what we have been saying. God will use parables to talk to natural men. Now you will need to go to the New Testament to understand the revelation of what they did in the Old Testament. So, they had a physical building, and then they had physical sacrifices. Don't forget, these physical sacrifices were types and shadows of Jesus. There were types and shadows of Jesus. Look at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 verse 9. Which was a figure, what their shadow, a type, symbol, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. So he's telling you whatever stood in the Old Testament was a type and then was a shadow. We stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come a high priest of what? Good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Are you seeing the distinction now? Alright? Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by what? His own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Can you say amen to that? So he says, it's not a physical building. We are not a priesthood of a physical building. We are a priesthood of a spiritual house, not made with hands. Not of a physical building. chapter 8, verse 6. I'll start from verse 1. Now of the things which were spoken of, this is the sum. This is the summary. That is, this is the explanation. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven. Now where was the Old Testament high priest going to? The holy place. Where did Jesus enter into? In the heaven. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle with the Lord preached and not man. Now who preached the one on earth? Huh? Who preached the one on earth? Man. Was it God? No. Look at verse 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is necessary that this man has somewhat also to offer. That is, the high priest must offer gifts and sacrifices. So Jesus must offer something. For if on earth, he will not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to what? The law. Who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. So, all those gifts and sacrifices were what? A shadow of heavenly things. As God was admonished, as Moses, pardon me, was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, said he, thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now, let's take verse 6 together, want to go? But now have he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon. Can you say amen to that? Spiritual things, not physical things. Christ is a reality of the physical sacrifices of the Old Testament. Is a reality of the tithe. Is a reality of the first fruit. Is a reality of the meal offering, the wave offering, the seed offering, the burnt offering, the sin offering, are all types and shadows of the gifts. Now, we saw that if Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God, and Abraham gave him the tithe was supposed to be what? A mediation to God. Because the priest would take from the people and present it to God on behalf of the people. So the tithe was given by Abraham, paid by Abraham, given by Abraham to Melchizedek on his behalf to God. Now today, the tithe is a person. Praise the Lord. The tithe is a person. The tithe is Christ Jesus. Praise be unto God. So praise be unto God. So today, we don't live in the shadow. We are that house of God. We are the true tabernacle of God today. We have come into God's presence. What was about the tabernacle? The tabernacle is where God stayed. The house of God. Now Jesus has entered into God's presence for us. Now Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to read verse 18 and 19 together. Let's go. Okay, let me wait for everybody. Hebrews 10, 18. Yeah, there's amen. Amen. Alright, let's go. Now, where the mission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we have entered. Praise the Lord. So we are continually in the presence of God. The priests of the New Testament does not go into the presence of God. The priest of the New Testament does not ask for the presence of God. He is there. Now. In your presence, that's where I am strong. Stick me there. Or something. I don't know the song well. Take me to the place where you are. You know, all those songs look very spiritual. But they're not spiritual, they're actually carnal. They're actually unbelief. I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place forever. Just go read your Bible. That song does not glorify Jesus. What glorifies Jesus will tell God what he has done in Jesus. I'm in God's presence today. It says, by the blood of Christ, we have entered into the holiest of all. We are there now. Hallelujah. We are there today. The one who is about to come into the holiest of all is the one who needs salvation. And Hebrews 7:25 says that if he believes the gospel, he will come to God by Jesus. Christ is the way, praise the Lord. And today we are seated in Christ. We don't go into God's presence, we're there. What we do now is to practice the prayers of God. To fellowship with the prayers of God, that's what we do. We don't go into the prayers of God. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. So, you know, we think we need to enter his gate. We always feel we need to enter into something. We have to enter into something. There's a realm. As you, when the pastor comes and tells you, there's a realm you should get to. You know, we have so many esoteric preachers. They do esotericism. They always say there's a secret somewhere that we have not seen. We need to enter, there's a realm. I see they have flashy cars and a jet and a house in America. You're also very greedy. I need to catch that realm. So I'm listening to you for secrets. So say, in the morning, wake up and look to the sky. The revelation will come to your soul and you know what to do at work. You're only greedy and lustful. In the morning, read your Bible. Hallelujah. Esotericism is secret knowledge that is not revealed in the Bible. Someone was sharing me yesterday. And then he said to me, so if I keep trusting God, I will enter into his promises, into his rest. So where is that? You know the funny thing? She was reading Hebrews 4. I said, you're an esotericist. So what's that, sir? You're into mysticism. You are more into astrology. You see a Christian who passed English language in school. DGNS, GES, GST, then on the school you went. 101, I think there's 201, use of English. 101 use of English. 201 is what? I don't know. We have different institutions here. Some of you are from Nigerian Defense Academy. You learn how to use the gun. I don't wonder. He gets to the Bible, then loses his brain. He gets to the Bible and loses his mind. And he says black. He says, it may not be black. What happened to you? You know God is big. He reads, and you are saved. And he says, I desire God's salvation. He says, brother, you have PhD. He says, I know. So, but look at this now. He says, you know, these revelations of God are very deep. Paul says, this mystery, I wrote to you in few words so that you can read and understand. So the person is the word, read. You know, the Bible is always in tongues. Just read it. How can you say, oh, I need your presence? How can you say that? Hebrews 13:55, sorry. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God everywhere. You will never find him. Because sometimes, you know, we're looking for the wrong things. Rather than look for God, look for the knowledge of God that is with you. Somebody was telling the story of one time. He discovered that he was the only one in the house, as a preacher. That the house was, you know, the whole house was smelling. So he began to clean the house, and he cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. As he was cleaning, the smell did not go. He cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned, and the smell did not go. He looked under the couch. He checked the chairs. He looked at the sofa. He looked at the bed. What is going on? He sprayed everything. So when he was tired and looked at the mirror, there was one spoiled meat on his nose. So he was just walking effortlessly. So maybe I'm just looking for the wrong thing. Pastor, I need anointing for breakthrough. Are you a thief? The Bible says a thief that breaks through. What breakthrough do you want? Jesus broke the chains. Hallelujah. His purpose, his presence, and power. Some people don't know. So they are looking for the wrong thing. Told you the story of one fellow who was going from Britain to America years back. He believed that when he gets to Britain, he's going to make it. You know, that's what we think in Nigeria. When you get to Heathrow like this, that's it. A millionaire. When you get to JFK in New York, you're a millionaire. That's how I was in London. I saw a fellow in Nigeria. So what are you doing in Heathrow? Driving taxis. That's another fleece. Golden fleece. So as I was, you know, I like for the taxi, I gave her extra £5. She was greeting me over and over. She said, look, whenever you need my services, just call my number, wherever I am. When she was taking me, she was calling and said, go and drop me. Our child was not, I'm not picked up from school. Go and drop me child anywhere. Go out, come out, because of how much. So I told my wife, I said, why is she greeting me like this? She said, £5? You gave her like that? Hey, she will call you next day and thank you. Supposed to like that when you get, just go to the abroad and see white people like this, that's all. God is white. So, this fellow was, you know, moving from Britain to America. So he sold all his goods to buy the ticket to get on the ship. In those days there were no planes. So he bought everything. Took a loaf of bread and milk. But the first day was done. It's not like some of you who fast. He's a very slow person. Took their own meal. So he now became hungry. In the Bible says he was hungry. In that day, he was hungry. He was hungry. Second day, third day. You know, there's fasting by hunger. He lived a fasted life. By the fifth day, you know, some people were eating and drinking every afternoon, every morning, they would eat and feast. So he was wondering, why did I get money? You know, you look at people, you know, when you get so desperate, you just look at people and feel like you shoot them. He turned that way. He was hungry for days. So he said, look, I will join these people. Whatever will happen, let it happen. So as he got there, he ordered for food. He began to eat voraciously. Thinking that he stopped. Stop eating. So he tried, he ate everything. You know, sometimes you now store some food somewhere, you eat more. He said, where can I store this? He was just eating. Remember, secondary school, we had this competition. Fastest eater. And we put asaro porridge. A meal I never liked. Some guy ate almost a pot for 10 people. I said, God. These are supernatural things. He now was eating and eating and eating. So he was eating. He now drank wine. He drank and drank and drank. Life is good though. But you know, it was about the end of the dinner. I was leaving. Thought he was very smart. So he ran out of the hall. So he came back. He was a Christian. Convicted of his heart, in his heart. So when he meet the waiter, didn't you see me? I was eating all the food. The guy said, I saw you. Saw me? Would you have pity on me? You have been seeing me for days hungry. Said, no. Said, why did you allow me? Said, where's your ticket? Said, you paid for everything. Said, yeah. Now the last day. You know the point? the bad part was that he had already eaten his fill. So I was wondering, where can I keep the rest? Christians are like that. They get to heaven, then it's all done. Why? You never knew you were God's priest on the earth. Who has been made a priest already? Now, the priest of God offers spiritual things, not physical things. So we don't take tithes. Praise the Lord. That's for Levi and Melchizedek. Are you still there? Tithe of Christ Jesus has been paid to God on our behalf. So we offer spiritual sacrifices, not physical sacrifice. So we don't bring the money into God's presence. No. No. Whatever we give or we bring while we're dwelling in the house of God, even the presence of God, is spiritual, is eternal. Because that's what this covenant is about. So last week, and this is today's teaching now, Hebrews 13, I just give you a prerequisite. Hebrews 13. Verse 15. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice. Notice that. Read. Don't look at me. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice. Now who are those who offer sacrifices? Priests. Let's offer the sacrifice of what? Praise to God. Continually. Now how often do the priest minister? Continually. Let's offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God, that is the fruit of what? Our lips giving thanks to his name. Can you say amen to that? Why? Verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continued city, but we seek one to come. By Jesus. Let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Priests now, in this covenant, offer words. Words unto God of what Jesus has already done. He said continually. We don't offer things. We offer words of what Jesus has already done. He says confessing his name. That word, when he says giving thanks to his name, he means to confess his name. To acknowledge his name. To say what he has done. Don't forget, if you apply this series with us, we saw that priests don't just come to God with anything. You don't just appear and say, oh God, you just feel sorry for Israel and say, we are so sorry. You know, we are sorry. We've turned around, we've gone astray. You don't just say that. You must come with the prescribed requirements. You must come with blood. You must come dressed in a particular way. You don't just come wearing your best shirt. No. You must come as a priest. Now the same way, priests in the new covenant, in Christ Jesus, don't just minister anyhow. He says we must minister the sacrifice of praise to God. What is that sacrifice of praise? Confessing the name of Jesus. Acknowledging the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Acknowledging what he has done. Philemon 6. That the communication of your faith may become effectual. By the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you by Jesus. That's what the priests give to God. Sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. Look at 1 Peter 2 again. You know about the priest of the old covenant? That
Everything you must bring to God must have been accepted by God. You don't come into the tabernacle assuming. God should. You know, when we sing the song, we change it in the church. Some of the songs we sing, we change them. And we say, let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. We say, is as the evening sacrifice. Because priests don't assume. The Lord, let my praises be acceptable unto you. Ha! Even as a priest, you don't assume. You must know what's accepted before you come. Hallelujah. Look at it. 1 Peter 2:5. As living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by who? By who? Jesus. So who sanctifies our offerings? Jesus. What he has done is what makes what we say to God acceptable. Now, if you come to God and you're just gisting him, what is that? The beginning, you will have praises. Eyini arata piti piti piti. Eyini obatoma fileti gbogbo le ma dahu. If you want to act for the yoloro, go act for the yoloro. This is a serious relationship. Don't come and be gisting. Don't come and be gisting.
Obe ogu kari ogu ma wole.
So you must fall down or something. But what? We just think, it's just fools. Is it acceptable to God by Jesus? You know, we heard about the old covenant? The priests don't just come and say anything. We're going to say something in a moment. Can I know? Is any God?
Be magnified.
He should magnify himself. How? Become great? How? I mean, you say, be magnified, oh God, you are highly exalted. Is that a contradiction?
Because we don't think when we are talking.
Hey, no priest, tell us you. This is anything that comes to your mind, though. Say what is acceptable unto God. By Jesus Christ. That's why. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Look at the songs that came out to heaven. Look at the songs. Are you following me here? I think some of you, your devotional songs are the ones we're talking about. The ones that when you sing in the morning, you are just jiggling. Hey! You just get your swagger. You say, See?
I have made you too small in my.
Because you are afraid something bad may happen to you. So you are confessing ahead of time.
Oh Lord, forgive me.
They need some glasses. Because if something is small in your eyes, something that is big becomes small in your eyes. What's that? That's long-sightedness. Alright. You got a problem. Revelation chapter 5. Come on, see this. What's the song? It says, look at this, verse 8. And they're taking the book, and 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden veils full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Notice that, you see, it begins to give you a typical example of the old covenant. So they came with incense, full of the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. Say, we have a new song. Say, we have a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You have made unto us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So what is a song acceptable to God? Songs that sing about what Christ has done. Come before God. Acceptable to God. Look at most songs today in churches. They only have Jesus. If they have it at all, he doesn't speak about what he has done. At all. They just sing, people just sing emotions. You are a priest of God. You can't be singing emotions. Lord, you seem so far away. Why should you say that? Million miles apart seems today. Why should you say that? Don't you believe his word? Well, Pastor, I'm telling you like I feel it. No, you don't do that. You have to minister to God. You know, priests have to minister to God. Imagine if you get to a restaurant, not Mama Put, a restaurant, you know. I like Mama Put more than restaurant, but I'm talking about restaurant now. Don't quote me. When I was in law school, when I first got to law school, I suppose I was in the restaurant. I just thought my income was going down. I was just taking curry. I said, "Is there no answer?" The guy said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Ah, lunch." He said, "Ha ha ha ha." He said, "Let me make you nothing." He went to one place under the tree. He make you nothing. Obey your stomach. And then you see people from banks and all the big companies will come in there and they'll be eating under the tree. Because the place smoky, because you get smoke. When you come from there, you have the fragrance. You say, hey, you are coming from the right place. But one day you spend less money and you'll be filled to the overflow. When you get to the restaurant and then the waiter comes and says, I feel you should take Gary. I feel you should take Apple. You say, hey, who's the manager here? This guy is insane. A waiter comes and asks you for what you want. God has told you what he wants. How he wants to be praised. He wants to be praised through Jesus. Don't come and tell us your emotions. Don't come and say, I just feel you, God. I feel you, God. Some people don't depend on salvation and salivation. Please, God is spell a lie and deceive. He doesn't usually say anything that comes to you. No, I was one birthday party at the university and they were just singing. They were just praising things and people just lose their head. They were just singing and they got to a point, everybody just lost the control. Have a father who will never, never fumble. Anyway. Jesus is my father. How can Jesus be your father? Are you daft? But you know, they're not functioning as priests now. They're functioning like pests. You bring spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by you, by what he has done. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father, who has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his own dear Son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption. Even the forgiveness of sins through his blood. That's giving thanks to God. Hallelujah. That's giving thanks to God. Say what Christ has done. That's what priests go to God for. Words that you speak from the word are eternal words. They are eternal sacrifices. When you get to heaven, as the case may be, you see those words. They are the same words. Spoken in Zion, the same words. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. You know that song? For the cross, I bow my knees. That's the song acceptable to God. For the blood that was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. What you are speaking from the word. See, the church of Jesus, we have lyrics which you sing. We have a song manual already. We don't go to YouTube to pick words. We are priests of God. We are to minister to God. We are to be with God.
in His word and in our practice. Lord, make me pure in heart. Which other one do you want? Your heart cannot be purer than it is now. You have been washed by the blood of Jesus. You know, there are some things that they say, you know, they do advert, and they say one detergent cannot wash it. It has not washed it. And there's another one has washed it white. The man who is born again has been washed. You know, when he comes before God, as the case may be, to pray is not to pray. God sees a white garment, washed by the blood, because God sticks to His own part of the agreement. He sticks to His word. So when you offer to God, you stick to His word too. Now, when we come like that, as God's sons, and we refuse to speak His word, we refuse to say what is acceptable to Him. 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, thanks be to God, who causes us to triumph in every place and makes manifest of His knowledge in every place. That's what thanksgiving to God. You know, sometimes we have knocked all those old in-laws that sing about the cross. Some of them have some unbelief in there, I agree with you. But the recent songs are just horrible. They're just awful. I mean, they are as awful as the world could go. What? God is cool, listen. I mean, irreverence. Tell the priest of God, I offer spiritual sacrifices, not emotional sacrifices, not carnal sacrifices. I offer spiritual sacrifices already accepted by God, by Jesus. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Already accepted. You don't just come and say anything. The Jews, that's why some of them find it hard to believe that we are priests, because they know who priests are. Say, you priest? This is a serious message. Say hi to the big G over there. Oh, say hi to the big G. Hey, P, are you with me? Oh, we are at the church, we are going nowhere. Eh? You know, you should go, you say you are going nowhere. Say, go, Jesus, go. He sent you to go, you are going to go. Hey, go, Jesus, go, Jesus. Hey, go, Jesus, go. I will see here. Alright, now. Oh, yes, my God. All my songs. If those are all your songs, then you're in trouble. You are in trouble. You have not been living like a Christian. Look at Nadab and Abihu. You don't just come to say anything. Look at it. Leviticus chapter 10. Nadab and Abihu, we learn something from them. They were priests. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says, Nadab and Abihu, verse 1, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire therein, and put censer thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. Look at verse 2. There went a fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Can you imagine? They just came and said, Have a father who will never, never humble. They just said it. They were saying anything. Before the Lord, they would say, Blood of Jesus, I tell myself the blood of Jesus, Holy Ghost fire. That's strange fire. Because only the high priest uses blood. And Christ has done that. The blood of Jesus, Blood of Jesus. Even children have learnt it. Well, after camp meeting, there was one occasion that was just after camp meeting. And some little children, 8 years, 9 years, once God was praying, so we come outside the blood, and all the young kids of them like crazy, Blood of Jesus. Said, my God, see what these are learning from me. They are calling blood. For what? Well, one child like that. I got to spend all the days with
his uncles and aunts who stay, who fell to a particular church like that, that are, you know, into demonology. So he go back home. So they're, oh, Toby, pray for us. So he just closed his eyes, he said, in Jesus' name, Daddy, Father and I, Mommy, Father and I, Azira, Father and I, say, stop that, sir! That's an issue praying at his house, Father and I! In Jesus' name, Father and I, everybody, Father and I. They took the job rubbish! Hallelujah! It looks funny, but it's serious. None of an happy, you came with strange fire. What is this? There's so many strange fires. Most of these concerts, they even have strange bombs. Bombs. They just say anything. Come on, are you there? Hold it up and say, come on.
Shake that booty that Jesus gave you. Shake that.
Where are you? Same fire. But because we are saved, we don't die. But I'll tell you what happens to you when you bring strange fire. I'll show you now. You know the Bible says the prayers of the saints, they are found in heaven. Right? Okay? So of course we never have a prayer in heaven. Or a song. So where are my songs? Which one? Oh, my son, it's not me. It's just a couple from my church. We never heard them. Ha! I started in 10 concerts. Every prayer meeting I started, every devotion. So, well, there are sometimes we were before the Lord, sometimes we were not. Let's look at let's watch your movie. Shh! Before the Lord. So it was a 30-year life. 10 minutes. We were just thinking emotions. There is no like you. Now, in your mind, you're just thinking of one boyfriend somewhere. No one else can touch your heart. To do what? Seriously, see yourself. Please touch your heart. To do what? The next day you're with your boyfriend, you touch my heart. That song is not anywhere. It stays on earth. Praise the Lord. What happens to your songs? And those prayers you pray for fire to burn people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are we together? So I'm a priest of God. In Christ Jesus, I offer up sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. Verse 11. No other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest for the day, shall declare it. Whether it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So the fire will try it. All the different things we say and do. If any man's work abides, which he has built upon, he shall receive the reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. So he will be saved. The word fire is judgment. By which judgment? The judgment on Jesus. He will be saved. He will be saved. But his works cannot be saved. His song, his prayers, everything he has done will not be saved. He's just talking. So I just want to pray, you can't consult the Bible. That's why it's difficult. Today, when in the Bible, you just be looking. It's difficult. Why? Read it now. I said, yesterday, I gave her an assignment, you know, one of my Facebook friends, and I said, go read the book of Hebrews and book of Galatians. Tell me the difference. And all that. And I said, give me the assignment by Moses. Ah! I said, see, you have just less than 80 verses. In each of them. 160 verses. I said, look at newspapers. Just Guardian and Punch is more than these things I've given you. I know, so I say, you are very tough when it comes to the Bible. If your lecturers do that assignment, you say, let's forget the next year, June now. The work shall be done in prayer, in praise, offer up Jesus Christ. That's the only thing acceptable. Oh, thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. See, stop using only key for God. Say, you are Jehovah, Tiskem, you are Jehovah, El Shaddai, you are Jehovah. There even goes to some stupidity. Jehovah, El Ephesi. You are insane. Jesus called him Father. And he called him our Father. That's what he is to us. And I was in Lagos. A big man of God. You got a big man of God by the size of the church and the kind of cars he drives. And the guy said, yeah, I don't pray God. Because everybody's going to say, I thank you, Father. I thank you. I don't pray God like that. Oh, thank you, Father. He said, I call him his name. And I thought, I'll be here. I said, is this man okay? Jesus said, thank you, Father. So Jesus took God and said, I'll be here. Say, thank you, Father. That's what redemption gives to us. We call him Father. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of glory. The Father of lights. The Father of spirits. Hallelujah. That's what we offer to God. That's what Jesus gave us to give to God. And in my name, whatever you ask the Father, he will give it to you. Can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Words acceptable unto God by Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Say it again, I'm a priest of God. Say, I'm a priest of God in Christ Jesus. I beseech you therefore, brethren, verse 1, Romans 12, by the mercies of God. Now, you need to understand what he meant by the mercies of God. When you read chapter 10, chapter 11, and say, how God has mercy on Israel and on Gentiles, you understand what he's saying here. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, religion has read this verse like this. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The word as is not there. Because that would defeat the entire verse. Hallelujah. When you use the word as, that means it is not. And figures of speech are not used for the new creation. It is what the word says it is. It says that you present your bodies. The word present in the Greek means to acknowledge something. When I write you a letter, and you have thought you have received it, that's the word present. It means to thoughtfully consider your body a living sacrifice. That means your body is what? A living sacrifice. It's already a living sacrifice. What else is your body? Holy, acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. So your body is already holy. It's acceptable unto God the way it is. It's a living sacrifice. A pleasing sacrifice unto God. Already, is holy, is acceptable. So I say, which is your reasonable service. That is, when you acknowledge your body a living sacrifice, that is a reasonable service unto God. That is a service that has understanding. So verse 2 tells you, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means, look at your body. And consider it the way God has made it. It's a living sacrifice. Say, my body is a living sacrifice. My body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. That's the scripture. Purify me like gold. You know, we just So am I devoted to my body. So the first one was just what? Scoop. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary. Your strange fire. Your anointing. Try and do with everything. I'll be living. You don't believe the word of God. This body is a living sacrifice unto God. Spiritual growth, like you say in verse 2, will be based on how much more you acknowledge what God has done. Then you renew your mind. You stop seeing your body as a body, an organized body of feelings. You see your body as holy, acceptable unto God. You know God didn't change this body before he dwelt in there. This body is accepted the way it is, and he made his house. The Bible tells us that your body, 1 Corinthians 6, but before we go to 1 Corinthians, Romans 8, the same letter, Romans, I told you next, always try and look at the same letter to understand the meaning of the word. Romans 8, 11, I'll start from 10. He says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So Christ is where? Christ is in you. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. That means the body is mortal because of sin. That was in your past. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. So who dwells in you now? The spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse 19. All of us read that together. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Can we take it together? Want to go? Okay, let's take it together. Everybody wants to go? What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Can you see why it's called a living sacrifice? You are not what? Your own. Let's take it together. Want to go? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So this body is bought. Hallelujah. It's bought. It's a living sacrifice. It's holy. It's acceptable unto God. Already. Romans 6, 12 and 13. Can you check that later? It says, therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Why? It's a holy body. This body is holy. That's why God was in there. God chose his house and he chose your body as his house. To honor God will be to acknowledge your body is the house of God. So acknowledge your body is holy. Holy means separate unto God. Your body is for God. Your body is of God. That will be worship to God. That will be a priest offering a spiritual sacrifice unto God. You honor God with your body by saying what his blood has done to purchase this body. You honor God by acknowledging what he has done with the body. Also the body. This is the temple of God. This is the house of God. This is the tabernacle of God. God dwells in here. The Spirit of God dwells in here. That will be a spiritual sacrifice acceptable unto God by Jesus. Say, I'm bought with a price. I'll close with that. My body is bought with the blood of Jesus. Say, my body is bought with the blood of Jesus. So a price has been paid for your body. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 tells you that this body may not be perfect today. Ephesians 4:30 says it's sealed. You are sealed until the day of redemption. The day of the full redemption of this body. And that's what we call the rapture. Same in Romans 8 and verse 23. So, as God's children, we're priests of God. We're still going to continue next week, the mother. To minister to God back what he has given to you. The priests under the old covenant, God gave them a sacrifice. He said, this is what you should bring to me. Okay? So whenever you are coming to God, you come to God with what he has given to you. Your God has given Jesus to us. So when we come to praise him or pray, what do we offer back to him? What Jesus has done. You want to minister to God this morning? Lift your hands to heaven.